Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Chuck Pagano is back, as you heard during Nolan's update there. Senior secondary coach Chuck Pagano, who was defensive coordinator back in 2011, as Nolan said, when the Ravens lost in the AFC Championship game, unfortunately, to New England. He is back and told Pat McAfee earlier today exactly why this all came about. It seemed like it happened rather quickly.
It's funny. I texted him last week, and I was texting for a friend, a fellow coach that was out and looking, you know, for an opportunity. Reached out, text John, says, hey, I've got a name for you. Talk about this potential candidate, whatever. And then the question comes up, hey, how you doing? You good? You itching a little bit? You feeling like, you know, maybe there's, you know, want to get back in some capacity? And so a conversation started, led to a Zoom call yesterday. Talked a lot of ball for a long time. It just came out of nowhere, really.
Yeah, that was interesting how those things happen. And I think it's good, because what did we say last year about the staff? They didn't have enough NFL experience on it. They got Chris Hewitt. That's about it, you know, really. So, and then Dean Pease is not going to be in the building. So bringing another veteran guy back to help out, I think it's a good thing. And a guy that you know, and he knows the defense, he knows the building, he knows the people in the building. I think it's a very good move by Harbs. I think it'll pay dividends. And Chuck's been a secondary dude. I mean, he's been a secondary coach. He's been coordinator and a head coach. So he understands the whole picture and stuff. So I think it's a good move. And it's probably Dean Pease was the right guy at the right time. And I think having a guy who's been a former head coach also to be able to bounce things off of is a good thing.
Obviously, John Harbaugh wasn't interested in the friend that Chuck Pagano was calling about. But anyway, here's Chuck Pagano, was asked by Pat McAfee exactly what the role is going to be this year.
Chris Hewitt is the, you know, pass game coordinator, secondary coach. Doug Mallory coaches in the secondary. Both long time veteran coaches. I get an opportunity to go in, fill a role in the back end where, like, okay, like how can I mentor, how can I help, what can I add, go through the things, very familiar with the scheme. Obviously, that scheme has not changed for the last, 100 years, it seems like. You know, that thing has been intact. There's been coordinator after coordinator after coordinator, but the nuts and bolts of that scheme have not changed. So it's an opportunity for me to go in, hey, what do you need?
I think the thing that is always the toughest thing, if you're Hewitt or Doug Marrone, you know, Mallory, the secondary coach, how are you handling it? You know, when Harb says, hey, I'm bringing in another secondary guy, you know, and you got two. So are you telling me that I'm not doing a good enough job? Is that kind of what you're telling me, that you're bringing in this veteran coach? So that those guys have to be totally well, they don't have to be, but you got to learn to adapt to it, because that's what Harbs wants to do. And what role? Still didn't really explain, you know, what do you want me to do? You know, it all depends on, you know, which guys. Who do you want me to take? You know, are they drafting another guy? He mentioned Brandon Stevens during the thing, but Brandon Stevens won't be back. But, you know, how can he help Wiggins? How can he help with Kyle Hamilton? Plus, the thing is with Chuck, he knows the scheme so well. He's going to be able to help at a lot of positions and overall.
Which maybe made the transition easier for Orr and Pease, that Zach Orr knew Dean Pease. Where Chuck Pagano, they know him by name. Maybe he's going to have to indoctrinate himself into, you know, I'm not here to step on any toes, make any waves. I'm here to help.
Yeah, and, you know, when you bring in a guy who's 65 years old and he's been out and he's been a former head coach, and I'm sure the first meeting that he had with them and probably on that Zoom, Zach Orr was probably in on that Zoom. Hey, whatever I can do to help, you know, I know you guys are good. I like the building. I like the people. And feels right.
It's Video at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan, NFL Lunch, Woman Crush Wednesday. Here is Chuck Pagano just being thankful for the Ravens and everything they have done for him throughout his pretty successful career.
When I went to Baltimore in 08 with him his first year, that organization, that franchise, the success that we had, you know, as a DB coach and then a defensive coordinator my final season, Pat, it changed the whole trajectory of my career. I mean, it changed everything. You know, we lose a heartbreaker in that AFC Championship game, and the next thing you know, you're sitting at a desk, and you're you know, get an opportunity to be the head coach of the Colts. So, I owe that organization a ton.
Yeah, and the thing about it is why is he sitting at that desk at Indianapolis? Because they had a good defense, and you're the defensive coordinator, so you're the guy in charge of the defense. Why are these coordinators getting head coaching jobs? Why is Ben Johnson from Detroit getting a head coaching job? Because the offense was so explosive. And that's what Chuck was. He was a young coach at that time and got the head coaching job and did a hell of a job. And you know what? They were 2-14. He gets Andrew Luck.
So Chuck Pagano is back in a role to be determined. He's going to be helpful for sure. Real quick NFL news. Mike McCarthy looks like he's going to sit this one out. There's only one job opening available. It is New Orleans. Apparently, Kellen Moore's name is starting to be connected there to the Saints.
Well, what McCarthy knows is, you know, because he's been there and they probably told him, Kellen Moore's getting a job. They're not allowed to announce anything or do anything till after the Super Bowl, so they have to wait. So Mike McCarthy is no dummy, just like Aaron Glenn didn't go interview in New England. Why? Because Vrabel was getting the job. So they know that he's getting the job. So, yeah, I'm going to pull out instead of, oh, I'm going to go interview, you know, because they want him to come interview again. You're just buying time is what you're doing, and he doesn't want to do that.
Super Bowl 59 coming up February the 9th, and we'll be talking about that with Bill Bender from the Sporting News, bottom of the hour. But coming up tonight on The Fan, Maryland taking on number 17, Wisconsin. Pregame starts at 6 o'clock. Of course, Johnny Holiday of the Wizard, Walt Williams, Chris Knocke on the call. Head coach Kevin Willard joined us yesterday to talk about his team's winning streak on the road and tonight's matchup with the Badgers. If you missed it, it's coming your way next here on The Fan. For Maryland, try to solidify that NCAA tournament resume and kind of take a couple steps up, maybe, in the Big Ten standings. Joins us every Tuesday. It's Kevin Willard, head coach of the University of Maryland Terrapins, talking about some things like his team getting hot on the road, including the win at Illinois last week where they were missing a starter, but that really doesn't matter to you, does it?
No, I mean, you know, when you go through a season, you're not going to be a full strength at times. Your opponent's not going to be a full strength at times. So, you know, you gotta take advantage when one of your opponents doesn't have their center. So I thought Juju and Derek did a really good job of just kind of really understanding that we had a size advantage and just wanted to pound it inside. And I thought the two big guys did great.
Now against Indiana, you had a lot of guys do very well. Of course, Rodney Rice was incredible. But before we praise him, and rightfully so, Jacoby Gillespie, he had the one bad game, if we want to call it that, against Washington. Since then, Coach, he's been outstanding. Just talk about this kid coming from Belmont. They were talking about it on the TV broadcast on Saturday, just the adjustment from, you know, the Missouri Valley to the Big Ten, the step up, and how he's not only rose to the challenge, maybe has played himself into first-team consideration in the Big Ten team here.
Yeah, I think Jacoby, more than anything, you know, there is an adjustment period to this conference and to maybe just a different size of guard that's guarding him. You know, Washington put a 6'6 freshman on him. Diallo, that did a really good job of just kind of frustrating him a little bit, and that's the only bad game Jacoby's played all year. So Cincinnati's kind of understood that what he needs to do against the bigger guards of this league, and I think he's just been a great leader on the court. He's been a great leader off the court, and he's a really fun kid to coach.
The ebbs and flows of Sunday's game against Indiana, and you're up, they came back, then you took a lead, they came back, they got the N1 late, which put them up four. I was yelling so loud in my living room, Coach, I think my neighbor thought I was screaming at my wife, or she was screaming at me, either way, but you pull it out. Rodney Rice was huge. Just talk about his season, another transfer from Virginia Tech, and how he gets acclimated, and you know, sometimes might not be his best day, but boy, when it's time to rise to the occasion, he certainly did it.
Well, I think the one thing people don't understand about Rodney is, you know, he only played 8 games his freshman year at Virginia Tech. So for him now to go through a full college season, be in the 10th game of Big Ten play, I just think he's really adjusted well. He has had some ups and downs, but I think it's just a typical, almost like a freshman year of what he's going through. But he's been, defensively, he's really worked hard and been great for us. And, you know, to be honest with you, offensively, he is such a spark plug. And we know he's going to get out there, and we know he's going to get a bucket when we need one. Him and Jacoby have just really worked well together.
Kevin Willard, head coach, University of Maryland, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fantasy, does every Tuesday. We had Walt Williams on last week, of course, Maryland legend, Maryland Radio Network, and he talked about defense traveling on the road, and you told us a couple weeks ago that your team is really good defensively. They mentioned it on Sunday again, that you're in the top 20, I believe, in defensive percentile in college basketball. How do you instill that mindset into the players, understanding that, you know, it's a grind for everyone, but as long as you play that D, good things will eventually maybe happen for you?
Yeah, I think there's a kind of a happy medium with us is, you know, we kind of have a deal with the guys is, you know, you give great effort on the defensive end, and we'll kind of let you do what you can do on the offensive end. And we've been trying for the last couple of years to, you know, not, it sounds crazy, not to be as good defensively and be a little bit better offensively. And I think this group has kind of found a good kind of balance in between. All right, we got to work defensively, but at the same time, saving some energy for the offensive end. And, you know, we're now top 20 offense, and, you know, I think we slid a little bit defensively, but, you know, we're scoring the basketball, and when you score, it's just a little bit easier to play defense just because you can set your defense up a little bit better than when you're in transition. So it's just, I got a good group of guys. They work hard. They understand that, you know, in this league that you're going to have to bring it defensively.
Kevin, when you got this team together, you know, watching them in practice and early in the season, did you think they were going to be this good shooting the three?
Yeah, I mean, that was the one thing. We went into the portal, you know, Celt Miguel, Rodney Rice, Jacoby, all those guys were over 40% on catch and shoot threes, and that was really the main focus for us, knowing that we had Derek Queen coming in, that we had Julian Reese coming back. So having two big guys, we needed some guys on the floor at all times that could shoot the basketball, and it was just something that we really, because we struggled so bad the year before shooting the basketball, it was just something that was a main priority for us to make sure we got guys that can complement Derek and Julian.
Hey, Coach, like, go back to the Illinois game. Like, with the injuries, like, to the center, when did you know? Did you know it prior to the game or before the game just started? Because then all of a sudden you got to tell your guys, all right, switch the game plan a little bit because your guards like to shoot, play. You know, they only took three threes in that game, and they worked it inside. To me, that's discipline and good coaching.
Well, it was gonna be our plan no matter what. You know, because he's a more of a pick and pop five man. He's not the most overly physical kid, so we were gonna throw it into Julian no matter what. We had done it the year before there, and it worked really well. We had did it at home against them, and it worked really well. You know, Brad doesn't like to double team the post, so we knew we could have one-on-one play with Julian. And we saw him in sweats. I actually walked up to him right before the game and asked him what was going on. He said he had mono. I felt bad for the kid, but at the same time, I didn't feel bad for Illinois.
Kevin Willard, head basketball coach, University of Maryland. Now you got Wisconsin tomorrow, number 17 at home. And, hey, you know, the narrative about Maryland can't win on the road. Same with Wisconsin at home. They dominate teams. Now they're coming on the road. But you talk about pick and pops, this kid winners. So he can bang them. You got the guards that are great. Tanji's been around for 7 years, I think. So they've got some talent. They're playing really well. So talk about the matchup problems they're going to present, because the Tanji kid's a big guard, does a lot of things, sort of like the kid at Northwestern a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, Tanji's probably as good a guard as we're going to see all year. He's playing at a super high level. He's 6'5". He's been, like you said, he's been around forever, so he's got a lot of confidence. Their big guys are older. There's, you know, Stephen Crowell, he's a fifth-year senior. He's a guy that's been in Wisconsin's program. Greg does a great job of just, you know, he spreads the floor on you, runs a lot of pick and rolls. You know, Max Kleksmith's been there for now 5 years. So an older team that is playing really well. I think they've won 7 out of their last 8. You know, we're going to have to really defend the three-point line, because it's the best three-point shooting team in the league.
Kevin, last thing for you. After Wisconsin, you're off for a while, and we'll assume you win. Probably put you in the top 25, not to jinx you by any stretch of the imagination. Then you don't play again until, what, February 6th. How do you maintain that level of intensity? And you certainly don't want to break when you're running hot in the win column there.
No, it's a good point. And we've had, you know, this is going to be our 11th game already in Big Ten play, and you know, there's some teams that have only played 8, so we've had a lot of games in a short period of time. So I think the break's going to be good for the guys. You know, get 2 or 3 days off, let them kind of get re-energized for a really, I think, fun stretch in February, which is, you know, we have 6 home games in February, which is really exciting. So I think being at home in February is going to give us a chance to really get on another run. So I think the guys deserve a break, and looking forward to kind of attacking February.
Kevin Willard, head basketball coach, University of Maryland. That was yesterday. Coming up tonight at 7, Terps host Wisconsin, number 17 in the country. Maryland, 5.5-point favorites in that game. According to ESPN Bet, our pregame coverage starts at 6 o'clock. When we come back on this Woman Crush Wednesday, talk some NFL. Bill Bender from the Sporting News, look back at the I guess the officiating controversies of the championship games, in particular in Kansas City, and preview the Super Bowl, which is still more than a week away. And then it's a funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access, takes over at 2. And as we said, it's Maryland hoops. Terps trying to keep that winning streak rolling, maybe getting to the top 25 next week. Kansas City trying to become the first team ever to win 3 straight Super Bowls. Teams have won 3 straight NFL titles before, but no team has ever won 3 straight Lombardi trophies. Here to talk about that and more, he is on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's with the Sporting News. Let's welcome back to the show Bill Bender. Bill, what's happening?
Hey, man, I'm a Packers fan. So in a heated budget meeting yesterday at Sporting News, I reminded them that, hey, there has been a team that three-peated, and they had Bart Starr at quarterback and some guy named Lombardi at coach. They weren't too bad. And they were like, well, those are claimed. And I was like, this isn't a tax form, guys. They won NFL championships, but it would be historic to have a team win 3 Super Bowls in a row, no doubt.
And if I'm not mistaken, Bill, I'm pretty sure the Curly Lambeau teams won 3 straight titles way back where they were still using live pigs for footballs back in those days. But the championship games, all right, Philly got medieval in Washington. Turnovers had a lot to do with the Eagles imposing their will, and Jalen Hurts was outstanding, and Barkley's been brilliant all season long. But the AFC championship game, a lot has been made about the officiating, and I have no problem ripping officials in any sport that there is, whether it's an umpire or a ref, whatever. Is too much being made of this Kansas City bias, or are we on to the point where, as you know, people are saying the league is fixed? What did Kansas City to win because of Taylor Swift? I'm pretty sure they won 2 Super Bowls before he even started. Kelsey dated her, but it is what it is. Is the fix in? Is the officiating on the side of the Chiefs because they just want them to win more than everybody else?
I'm going to agree and disagree. I thought Worthy didn't catch the ball.
Right.
One, and I thought that was intercepted. That reminded me of the Fail Mary. Not that I like talking about that play. Patrick Mahomes gets calls, but you know, so did Peyton Manning, so did Tom Brady, and so did, you know, Aaron Rodgers. I can't sit here and say the Packers didn't get a bunch of calls when he was the quarterback, because they did. That said, I thought Josh Allen was short. And, you know, when we have a judgment call without a laser, you and I may see two very different things. And I do think we've gotten to the point where do the Chiefs get some favorable treatment? Probably. But are we overlooking for it? Absolutely. Anytime there's even remotely a close to controversial call, you know, social media fires up with all these conspiracy theories, and I think it's a bit much.
Now, with Josh Allen, who played well in defeat, 0-3, 0-4 now against Patrick Mahomes in the postseason. It's not quite to the Jim Kelly losing four straight Super Bowl level, but 0-4 is what it is, and he does beat him during the regular season. Fair or unfair, Bill, that this could be kind of legacy-defining, the fact that Josh Allen can beat pretty much everyone else, just can't beat this guy.
Well, that's a wild stat to me that Patrick Mahomes is 17-3 in the playoff
right.
postseason, and the only quarterback that he's beat more than one time is Josh Allen. You know, in this story, if you want to compare it to the – make an NBA comparison, it's like Patrick Ewing against the Bulls. You know, Michael Jordan beat the Knicks five times in the NBA playoffs, and that's what it feels like to me is, you know, yeah, the Bills are awesome. I picked them to win. I really did truly believe this was the year. That, hey, they're going to go out there and get them. And, you know, they had their opportunities, no question. But it's got to be frustrating if you're a Bills fan because Josh Allen is a very high-level talent. And they just keep running into that wall that is the Chiefs. And these have been classic games that we'll never forget. But, yeah, I mean, I felt that way as a kid. Nobody felt sorry for me when Green Bay was losing to Dallas, but they only lost three. This is four now.
Hey, Bill, I grew up in Minnesota. I was a Packer fan, too. My dad hated it because he was a Viking fan. But I cheered, and I was there cheering for Bart Starr and Brockington and Ray Nitschke and Lombardi and all those guys, too. So, Bill, let me ask you this. There's the Chiefs, they seem to ramp it up like Mahomes. During the season, he averages 6.8 per completion. Playoffs, 8.3. You know, Kelsey. How about Kelsey? Averages 8.5. During the regular season, 15.1 during the playoffs. You know, I mean, they're stars. When it's time, they know when the lights are bright.
Oh, and Kelsey, you know, you're starting to look at Kelsey and Mahomes. Are they the greatest pass-catch combo ever? And I don't say that lightly. I know who Jerry Rice is. I remember Jerry Rice in Montana and, you know, all these great receivers that we've had in the league. But in the playoffs, they're automatic. And you know, they've been able to do that. And I think one of the things about the Chiefs that doesn't probably get appreciated, and again, I speak everything through this like Green Bay prism, but the Chiefs signed Mahomes to a monster deal, and their team really is built on defense, though. It's built on this really strong defense around Chris Jones, the linebacker, Spagnuolo, calling it. And then the offense, you just, Patrick Mahomes and Kelsey, are as long as they're on the field, they'll make it work with whoever else is out there. And it really is remarkable. You know, the running game isn't dominant. The receivers certainly aren't dominant. They're good, but they're not great. And but as long as Kelsey's healthy and as long as Patrick Mahomes is on the field, they truly find a way to win.
Hey, Bill, I think it's going to be a good game because I really like Philly's defense. You know, that Jalen Carter, he reminds me of, and you'll like, oh, you probably won't like this. He can do some of the things Reggie White used to be able to do.
Oh, for sure. And this Philly team, it's, if any team was going to beat them, I think it's these guys because they're running the ball for around 250 yards in the playoffs. Saquon's been amazing. Jalen Hurts has seen it. They have the confidence of knowing that they can play with the Chiefs. They did it 2 years ago. Jordan Davis is a game wrecker, isn't he? Yeah, I mean, he drives guards like steering wheels and is able to get the pressure that he's able to get. And they've just got a lot of good pieces around Nick Sirianni, who, remember when he was on the hot seat way back in week two or week three?
Yeah.
Look at him now. So it's like the Ryan Day of the NFL right now. He's able to throw it back in everybody's faces a little bit.
Hey, Bill, what'd you think of Jerry Jones's introductory press conference yesterday or a couple of days ago with Schottenheimer?
Bizarre, you know, because where the, I mean, that would be one word, right?
Yes.
I'm sure there's stronger ones. I thought for all this talk and speculation that Dallas would make a splash and hire, you know.
He doesn't want to pay. Right.
That's part of it. So that franchise is really stuck in neutral for the talent that they've amassed. And, yep. You know, maybe they ditched Mike McCarthy one year too soon. I mean, he did have a good track record, got him in the playoffs. They just couldn't win those games. And now if you're the Cowboys, the depressing part has to be you are clearly behind the Eagles. You are behind the Commanders for the foreseeable future because I think Jaden Daniels is awesome, yeah. And they're going to continue to build around him. And then, you know, man, you're still ahead of the Giants, but that's not saying much where the Giants are right now until the Giants rebuild what they have going on.
Bill Bender, Sporting News, talking NFL with us, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan on the Window Nation guest hotline. Outside of Dallas, which I guess was a fascinating hire there, what has been the most curious head coaching hire so far for you? And what do you think about the New Orleans opening that appears to be Kellen Moore's to lose, even though he's got another game to go in another 10 days or so?
Yeah, Kellen Moore would be a good fit there. I mean, he would do well there, I think. You know, the surprise to me is Pete Carroll got back into it. And where he got back into it, you look at the Raiders, that'll be a fun team with him. And one last coaching job probably there. You know, if you told me 365 days ago, you said, hey, Billy, when you come on the show in a year, Pete Carroll's going to be with the Raiders. I said, okay, maybe. And Bill Belichick's going to be at North Carolina. And be like, golfing? Not coaching, right? What are we doing? And he's with the Tar Heels, that I would have said no way. And, you know, so I think Pete Carroll in that division with Andy Reid and Jim Harbaugh and Sean Payton, and there's a lot of NFL experience and four very good coaches in that division now.
He's Bill Bender, Sporting News. All right, a little early. We still have, like we said, about 10 days left before kickoff at the Superdome in New Orleans. Kansas City, 1.5-point favorites. Bill, I mean, I guess by point spread, it's an upset. Would it really be if the Eagles win? And what do you see this one playing out to be here? Super Bowl 59, as a matter of fact.
Sure. You know, I can't pick against the Chiefs. I just can't. I picked Buffalo to beat them. I'm not going to pick them here, even though I think Philly absolutely can win this game with that running game and averaging all those yards. I didn't realize until I was doing some homework today that the Chiefs, I totally flipped my mind that they were underdogs the last 2 years in the Super Bowl. So, you know, underdogs against Philly, underdogs against San Francisco last year. So, you know, I think it becomes a coin flip game. I predicted 30-27 Chiefs, and it just comes down to this. If it's a fourth quarter and it's a one-score game, and Patrick Mahomes has the ball, what evidence do we have to support that we're betting against him?
Bill Bender. You
know, and that's what it comes down to.
Patrick Mahomes, he's got that championship pedigree for sure. Keep in mind the refs are on his side. I don't know. Anyway, we talked about that earlier with Bill Bender, Sporting News. Bill, we appreciate the time. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy Super Bowl 59 if we don't talk to you before then.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on, guys. Take care.
You got it. Bill Bender, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Funhouse Trip. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access, takes over at 2. And then Maryland basketball coming up at 6. Pregame show. Getting you ready for the Terps in Wisconsin. You can hear it on The Fan. Against Wisconsin, that game starts at 7. Our pregame coverage starts at 6 o'clock right after Inside Access. All of that fun coming your way here on 105.7 The Fan. But Nolan, business awaits. Let's get to that fun house of yours.
Quick Draws Fun House. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here says, so what the Ravens are saying, or at least Harbaugh is saying through these moves, is that they don't trust Zach Orr to stand alone as a defensive coordinator. First enlisting the help of Dean Pease, now Chuck Pagano. Who's next?
Well, maybe it's an indication how much Dean Pease was involved. You know, I'm guessing Dean was heavily, heavily involved in that defense. And just to have another veteran guy there, you know, throughout the whole offseason and to start the season, instead of jumping in week 5 when things were bad, I don't think it's a bad thing. It's insurance.
Chuck in Virginia has a different perspective from the last texter. Says he loves the move to bring in Chuck Pagano. I was hoping they would bring him in last offseason. A great defensive mind, or will learn a lot for sure. And having Pease last season, Pagano this upcoming season, Chuck, you're saying, hey, who knows? Zach Orr might be a head coach in a few years himself.
He he's going to have to win and keep developing, but possibly. Possibly. He's got the right personality and stuff. I think he handles the media pretty well, and it seems like the players respect him and like him. But having that veteran, nothing like having a veteran guy around, you know, just to bounce things off of. I don't mind that at all in any situation, in any business.
We have this one here talking about the refs in the Chiefs and Bills game. Texter says, I don't want to be the guy that just blames the refs for everything, but, you know, can't help but think back to Ravens and Chiefs week one. All those formation penalties called against Baltimore didn't get called much at all around the league for the remainder of the season. Just can't be a coincidence every time.
Yeah, they said it. Well, what better way to send a message than opening night, Thursday night, when you know every player's watching, everybody's watching, and what? He got called, what, two out of the first four plays? I mean, message, because you know what? Every coach was talking to their players the next day.
And it also, the message was, okay, we can enforce it, but we're disrupting the flow of the game. And the message was loud and clear that, this is cool and you want to flex your little muscles there, but it's kind of ruining the opening night festivities here, if you will.
Or, you know, do it in the preseason. I mean, coaches are paying attention then, too.
Yeah, but nobody plays.
Sure, but, you know, if
still enforce the rule.
A third string, you know, left tackle lines up wrong, you can still call him for it, and people probably wouldn't even bat an eye. Say, oh, that guy's a third stringer. Yeah, you probably lined up wrong. Moving on here, this texture says, Russell Wilson and Drake May in the Pro Bowl, what the hell's going on? I guess I understand that guys like Lamar and Josh Allen don't want to participate every year, but if this is what we're left with, it kind of devalues the Pro Bowl as an honor.
Tyler Huntley?
Well, hey.
Hey, Mike Barilla won an MVP of a Pro Bowl way back when. Google him.
I mean, I think people know that the Pro Bowl's not really the end-all, be-all. I mean, anyone these days, when you start talking about Hall of Fame conversations and somebody mentions Pro Bowls, that, oh, so-and-so was a Pro Bowl 10 times. Like, okay.
Well, now, with contracts, what they do is, because of that kind of stuff, they put in their first ballot. You know, like, if you know, to make the Pro Bowl, your first ballot Pro Bowl. Otherwise, it doesn't count.
And how about one more here? This texter says, do you think there's anything to the Tyreek Hill rumors, him wanting out of Miami? Seemed to voice his displeasure immediately following the season. Is that something the Ravens could potentially hop on? Texter here, a bit of a fantasy trade, but says Andrews plus some picks. What would it take to get it done?
No, it's not going to get done. I mean, Drew Rosenhaus's agent came on the McAfee show not long after that and said that it was nothing. And Tyreek Hill most recently said it was just frustration. He doesn't want to go anywhere. So that ain't happening.
Right, and didn't Miami's tight end, Smith, have a monster season this year? It's not like Jonnu. That's an area of need.
Right, and if you took on, there for that argument, if you took on Mark Andrews, you'd have to deal with his contract. So, 2 years remaining for Tyreek Hill, by the way.
Plus, Andrews, their offense is like down the field, you know, it's more like likely would probably fit better than Andrews would.
Right, they'd like that catch and run.
Yes.
58-80-105-7, the Fat Terps tonight, 7 o'clock. 5.5-point favorites. Nolan, what do you think? Don't want to jinx them, so I'm not making a prediction other than Maryland's going to win. Might not cover the spread.
Well, I'll take the blame this time if they lose, but I am feeling confident. I think the students being back in the building, the overall atmosphere is going to be great. And, again, perfect time to play a lot of home games here down the stretch. Get that crowd energized.
At Maryland, only 10 games left in the regular season. Hard to believe. Starting to put together a pretty lot to get in NCAA tournament resume. And we'll see if they can add to it tonight. Pre-game show starts at 6 o'clock. Then it's tip-off at 7. Remember, Maryland Radio Network, legendary Johnny Holiday, the great Walt Williams, and Chris Knocke all on the call. We'll have the Wiz on tomorrow talking about the game and hopefully talking about a win. That's going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up next for Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato. I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.